Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast. Hey, we're in episode 91 today. My name is Jared. I got Denzel with me. Hey, man, come on, man. Are we recording or what?
Oh. We recording, man. Let's go.
Oh, okay, man. Well, look, 91, right? We got to figure out who episode 91 is honored to. Who wore jersey number 91?
Oh, man. Jersey number 91.
Mm-hmm.
Special guy from Detroit.
Come on, man.
Special guy from Detroit. Detroit just had the draft, NFL draft. So shout out to Detroit. Great city of Detroit. And this guy's a legend. Hall of Famer. Hockey player. Sergei Fedorov.
Man, I don't want to give it to him.
From the Detroit Red
Wings. I don't want to give it to him.
No. I know, but real talk. And I don't know if we did this for number 10.
But nah, We weren't doing it back then.
So this is
a lot of people got left out.
So he can definitely get it. I'm just messing around. But shout out to Hockey Town. Shout out to Detroit Red Wings and Fedorov. I was a fan, and you were too in the 90s because you
yeah,
were
man, yeah. But I don't want to give it to him. I won't think about him, to be honest with you, man. I know who you're talking about. I don't want to give it to him.
But who none other than the worm.
The worm. Where you go? You claim him too?
Of course. He got rings with Detroit, don't he? his coming up was in Detroit. So yes, we claim Dennis Rodman. He was 91 with the Bulls. Okay, we're going to have to put the Bulls jersey on Rodman. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. The 10, Dennis Rodman, you know, Pistons. And was he 91 with the Lakers or was he 10 with the Lakers? I know he was 10 with the Spurs.
Who was he with the Lakers? That's a good question.
I think he was 91 with the Lakers. I think that's when he first rolled 91 out. No, he was 70-something.
No, he was 91 with the Bulls first, but what did he? He was 73 with the Lakers.
70, yeah, there we go. 73 with the Lakers. How did we miss that? Did we miss him for 73? We couldn't have.
Probably did. He wouldn't have deserved it, though, man. The 73 worm won't the worm. You know what I'm saying?
not the Lakers worm. That wasn't it. That wasn't the one.
Nah, man, it's definitely 91 is the Chicago Bulls, Dennis Rodman, and I'm honored to have him be the guy for this episode, man, because truthfully, he's greatest rebounder of all time, one of the greatest defenders of all time, and definitely one of the greatest hustlers and gave the most effort out there. It was hard to outwork Dennis Rodman on a basketball court.
You was not going to outwork him. You weren't going to outparty him. You weren't going to outwork him on the court. He was going to do all the things that nobody wanted to do on the court, plus some.
Yeah, plus some.
And the crazy thing is, like, he could score when he wanted to. He showed himself like he can get the ball in the hoop. He can pull up a shot.
Pull up a shot, hit a three, little putback, little dunk, you know what I'm saying? A little mid-range. Worm had all those.
A little tip in and then go high step back down the court.
Yeah, celebrate.
Oh, high step run.
Yeah. Worm will get you and about 10 a game, man. 10 points a game off dirty work. Like, you know, just little putbacks and
10 points off of dirty work and 22 rebounds. Yeah. And give Karl Malone hell. Yeah. That was the Locks, funnest part to watch right there.
In the mix, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, just get under Karl Malone's skin. I love that. Go ahead. Get him, Worm. Get him.
Get him, boy. Shoot. Hey, man. Hey, that's that guy though, man. He's one of those legends that still remember, but will never be really given his flowers, maybe the way he needs to, because he didn't have that offensive bag that people like to see nowadays. But
real hoop fans, we know.
Oh yeah,
and he got his nod for the Hall of Fame. So shout out to the Hall. They got that one right.
Yeah,
got it right.
Most definitely. All right, y'all. So look, let's get into these cigars, man. This week, I know what I'll be smoking, and it's definitive. I'm going to be smoking a La Aroma de Cuba. Passion. Let me pull back on the P. My closest might be hitting the mic a little too hard. Passion. There you go. Bam.
Okay.
Get it.
You kind of see it. Maybe if you took the plastic off, we can see a little bit better without the glare.
Cellophane off. Let me get my face out the shot, and there she goes.
Nice little lady on there. So tell us about it. What's the specs?
For this particular cigar, oh yeah, I almost forgot to give you the specs on it. This is a Nicaraguan wrapper, Nicaraguan origin. It is what else it got on it? Nicaraguan binder, Nicaraguan filler. It's Nicaraguan through and through.
Through and through.
But it does have the name Cuba, but it ain't Cuban.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
You on your Castro today.
That smell like a real cigar. That smell like a cigar when I first started smoking cigars. That takes me back to my origin story.
Talk about it, man. Hey, look, so
punch this too. No, I'm not. I'm straight cutting it.
Okay. You know what? I had my punch the other day. And I was going to bring it to the show today. And I completely forgot about it. I'm glad you mentioned that. So now I can feel bad about myself because I was showing up going to do a punch today.
Okay. Well, I'm punching mine. That's the case.
Oh, you trolling me?
Speaking of,
we're talking about trolling earlier.
Yeah, the trolling starting early.
Just to try to
get warmed up.
I get it. Punch. So,
no, I'm punching for real though.
I see. I'm gonna go with Ryan Garcia right now. Ryan Garcia. Let's not go there.
I won't. Call back the last week's episode though. He won't crazy. We'll say that.
Yeah, it was. He teed it up just right. Got enough attention for eyes to be on him to go up and show out. So he teed it up right. It worked in his favor. Definitely worked in his favor.
Very strategic.
Yeah. So, hey, man. So last week I said I wanted to go Rocky Patel. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do it. I went another route, which I was so happy I did because I enjoyed that stick. Enjoyed that cigar. It was lovely. But this week I am going back to that Rocky Patel that I wanted. The Aged Barrel Rocky Patel. Nice little simple design. It's usually when Rocky goes here with a simple band on the tip.
Yeah, pause.
It's always a good one. It's always a good run. Whether it's that edge, that double edge light. So I'm expecting good things from this guy. Of course,
no Diddy again.
Rocky, in Rocky Patel favor, a flavor. He does what he does. Keeps it spicy. So I'm expecting some Rocky Patel spice. So my profile on this stick is about as red as it gets. So it's aged barrel. As soon as I took this thing out of the plastic, that oak, that strong barrel scent.
Yeah, it came through.
All on the stick right there. And it's, it's nice to take in. So I definitely enjoyed that. So let me give you the rundown real quick. So the wrapper is Habano. Binder Nicaraguan, filler Dominican and Pennsylvania. Didn't expect that, but Pennsylvania tobacco Rocky fillers. Rocky's keeping it American on this one, which I believe he has. Doesn't he have a couple facilities in Pennsylvania?
I think. I know. I think that's where Burn was his first
location. Yeah, his first barn. Yeah. Burn was in Pennsylvania.
I believe so. Yeah.
So Rocky got some deep ties in Pennsylvania, I'm guessing.
I think so, man. I think so.
I'm gonna have to look into the story on that. Because of course I don't know where he's from, like all his ins and outs about his personal or their family life. So I wonder if there's some ties to Pennsylvania there for him.
Might be, man. Might be.
Be interesting to see.
Either way, man. You know,
I'm uncovering the tip.
One of our favorite Patel people. So, you know, we're going to hope that, you know, this cigar comes through for us real good, real good.
Yeah. All right. So I
took the band off. Early expectations for that, though.
I'm expecting some spice, and I'm expecting the spice to stick around for a while because usually Rocky Patel hits you hard with the spice in the very beginning and tails off. But with the flavor profile being as rich as it is, I'm expecting for the smoke to be spicy all the way through and through. And an uncharacteristic, or as of recent, uncharacteristically, I was not looking for a spicy stick today. I was looking for a more smoother smoke. I had a long week this week, and I wanted something to kind of just, you know, to be mellow and chill and relaxing. So it's not exactly what I was looking for this particular smoke today. You know how sometimes you just have a vibe for something. You want something sweet. You want something with some spice. Or you want something with some smooth creaminess. So I was hoping to have something smooth and creamy today. And there's this nice, cool, easy vibe. Kind of like that Fuente type of feel.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're going to go with the spice today. Rocky Patel spice at that.
What about that barrel, though? What you think from that barrel? What's your expectations?
Something smoky, something oaky and smoky, possibly a little bit of sweet undertone.
You expect them to do it as well as some of your other ones that became more favorite ones for you, though?
As far as like the barrel,
yeah,
cured ones, probably so. Yeah. I can see Rocky Patel doing it very well. You know, I haven't had any aged barrel type of stick from Rocky Patel, not that I know of. So I'm expecting this one to be somewhat in line with what I've been smoking, plus that Rocky Patel quality that we usually get. So I'm expecting something good from it, something nice.
You know, that's crazy too, because as much variety as he has, it's interesting he never dabbled in that as far as we know as of this point. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because seemed like that would have been something he would have jumped on board with pretty quick. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah, I had your own.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the first time I've seen this one. And that's why I grabbed it when I was looking through and I wanted some Rocky. I was like, I haven't seen this one before. And it's not a flashy band that he's been doing lately. The Convictions, all the anniversary ones, the 55s. You know, he's trying to grab that attention with the bands. He said, oh, let me go simple, just like the Edge. And maybe give you something smooth with this aged barrel oak feel. So that's where I'm at. Off of first puff. I like it.
I'm getting hit with major spice right off the bat on this right here. Spice, a lot of spice, a lot of nuttiness. And there's a sweet element in the mix of that right now. But what it is, I ain't put my finger on it yet. But a lot of spice, heavy spice, heavy nuttiness.
So let me give you a little background of this real quick. So this is last year. This was released last year. So it says last year, Rocky Patel released a brand new creation that redefined his legendary Edge cigar line. So just like an Edge fashion, I'm guessing this is in correlation to what he does with the Edge. So it, let's see, complex flavors of the Edge with a smooth oaky taste achieved by aging in American bourbon barrels. So that's what we got with this aged barrel right here. So it's an Edge.
Yeah.
Age in oak barrel.
Hey, that ought to be all right though. Why are you describing that? Because Edge was always one of them cigars, you know what I mean? So and then you just add a new layer to it, you know what I'm saying?
New layer, And so far, so good.
That ought to bust at least a four, at least even, you know, just off the description, but we'll see. You know,
we're gonna see. It's smoking really nice right now. It is real nice. You can tell it does have a harsher profile, a little more. A little more oomph to it. Not necessarily spice, but just oomph.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that's where the high on the profile is. Not necessarily the spice, but just that punch of a cigar. That punch of tobacco.
Let me show you a little something, man, because this is usually you. I got some Denzel action going here.
And I'm well on my way to some Denzel action. Got some ash right there. No ash right there. So it's coming too. I'm right behind you.
Boy, we too grown for this, man. This is a thing, man. We 91 in and we still doing this stuff.
91 episodes in and burn still bad. Come on, man.
A minimum of 91 cigars, man. Not to mention what happens in our personal life, but a minimum of 91. Y'all been here with us before, and we still got bad burns.
Hey man, that just lets you know we keep it real. We just two brothers that love cigars, And we just gonna get it. We just get to it. We just get to it. We try to toast our cigars, you know what I'm saying, the right way and treat them the right way. But hey, look, we just like to get to it.
Oh yeah.
And I think that's what it is for me. I get a little impatient. You want to puff my cigar. Like I just, you start smelling it. Let's get to
ready
it.
To jump in, huh?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of jumping in.
Yeah.
We're gonna jump into this first everything else topic.
Yeah.
So man, I'll be seeing some things, right? And I'm sure you have too. Honest work, honest hustle. I don't feel like it gets respected enough in this day and age as it once did, you know, from our generation and generations past. I can even say up to our generation, that's kind of where things kind of slowed down as far as respecting honest hustle and that honest day's work.
Right.
You know, to where we look at it, it's like, I can't do that. I can't do this. You work there? Nah, homie, that ain't it. But back in our parents' day, grandparents' day, just getting up, grabbing your lunch pail and going to work, whatever gig it was that you were working it. And it was respect, right, with hats off to that man that's working or that lady that's working and getting to it. You know, it didn't matter what it was, whether you were bagging groceries at the grocery store, you were in the back of the garbage truck, sanitation worker, you were getting to it, janitors even, you know, or if you were in corporate. If you just had a gig, you were getting after it and you were getting an honest living and you were bringing home a paycheck to take care of your family, we respected it. We respected it. But now I feel like it gets frowned upon to see people just working day to day. You know? Oh. How are you feeling about that? And we can take it on a deeper level when it comes to like to these celebrities and people who have to move on in their career from one status to another just to keep the lights on.
Well, you mentioned, you say you think that goes back to our generation. You feel like we started that?
I do.
Okay.
And I'm going to say it from my standpoint, my perspective.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully nobody judges me for this. But I remember when I was in high school and graduating high school, getting into college, I had jobs in mind that I would be willing to do, but certain jobs that I didn't want to do, like working fast food. And that's where most of the young people, they start their work experience with is working fast food. But I had in my mind that I never want to work fast food. I don't want to work a fast food line. I don't want to work a drive-through window. That's not going to be me. So in a sense, I feel like it started there when certain people decided, no, I can't do that. Like myself.
Yeah.
I'm not going to work. I'm not working a drive-through. I'm going to figure something else out, which in turn, it worked out well for me to where, especially when I was in college at 19, creating a job for myself because I didn't want to go up the street to the Wendy's by the school and try to put an application at the Wendy's. But I was willing to put an application in at Blockbuster so I can get a job at the Blockbuster or something, you know what I'm saying? Or the Family Dollar. I was willing to do that. But I wasn't willing to do that. When we started drawing lines and saying what we will or won't do, I think that's where it started.
Okay. Okay. I mean, that's interesting perspective. I can see that. I didn't initially go to that perspective, but I think the saying through knowing yourself, you know others. I think that's where I go first in most cases when I think on subjects. I think that. What I know about me and like-minded people. And for me, I'm just a country dude at the end of the day. So like I grew up doing like whack jobs anyway. So I before I ever got to college, I was doing whack jobs. You know what I'm saying? Like, and when I was in high school, man, you know, the first work my father ever had me do, he had me go work in a tobacco field when I was 11. Mm. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I prime tobacco from 11. Yeah. And then I started, then he had a friend that had a detail shop, and I worked and started detailing cars when I was 13. And then when I got older, I started digging graves and stuff, man. My cousin was he owned a company who he had a backhoe, and he had a company that did a variety of jobs, but primarily we would do work with the funeral homes in the area. We would dig the graves, put up the tents, and sometimes we have to dig up graves, and we also put down people's sewage line and stuff like that. They septic tanks. We would put in septic tanks. Mm-hmm. So I was doing all this stuff as a kid. Like, I was working in graves and crap pots. You know what I'm saying? Basically, man, you know, we would go in there and people's septic tanks bust open. It'd be stink everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Because yeah. That's what nothing but they dookie is at. You know, so I'm that was the work I was doing all the way up until a certain age. So for me, it was just I never thought nothing of it. I never worked fast food, but mm-hmm. it just worked out that way. My parents always yeah. had other opportunities set up for me in the area, so I just did that stuff. So for me, it was just kind of like work is work. Go get a dollar. But when you put it that way, it's like, okay, I can see that though. I can see that. You know, I remember mm-hmm. people making comments like that, and you know, people started clowning people, and even in the 90s about working fast food. So there was that stigma there. It's when you remind me of that.
I never clowned anybody who worked fast food. You know what I'm saying? I always respect anybody who worked, but it's just something I never saw myself doing. Yeah. And you know me, I don't mind going to work. I don't mind going to work with my hands. I don't mind spending my time breaking my back. But it was just something about that job I did not want to do. And you know what I'm saying? Like, even for somebody who has an ethic to work and me still drawing a line.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like it started somewhere with us.
Yeah. I can get that.
And then things start becoming more convenient and we start being able to create our own jobs and doing what we want to do. We don't feel like we have to do what we have to do.
Right. I get it. Because I'm at a stage now where I'm like that. So I get it. You know what I'm saying? I can understand it. Like, I'm not going to just do any work at this point in time in life. You know, it's just like, all right, I feel like I'm halfway done with life. I deserve to not have to just go do anything. Like, you know what I'm saying? So
I should have my pick of what I want to do at this point. But the scary part is, like, it's we're at that point of working over 20 years, almost 30 years of working to where we are at that point now where we can have that say. But you got kids who are 15, 16, 20 years old talking about what they're not going to do. And it's their list is a lot longer than mine. Yeah. I literally had one thing on my list I said I wasn't going to do. It was work fast food.
You just didn't want to be cooking. Yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't want to be. I didn't want to be wearing a Wendy's uniform, jersey, or whatever they call it. Or McDonald's joint. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to wear the brown shirt with the whatever. You know, I just didn't want to do that, right? So that was my one list, or my one item on the list. But now with these people, their laundry list, their list is like a laundry list of just a bunch of jobs that they just won't do. UPS, sign me up. Post office, sign me up. Whatever it is, we got to work in the warehouse factory, whatever. Working the lobby or at a hospital, sign me up.
Yeah.
Hey man, how you get that gigs? Hook me up with it.
Right. Yeah, I done worked in factories and stuff like that before, man. You know, it is interesting though that you say that, man, because now it does seem like there's a lot of people that look down on it. You got this type of job, like, you know, even UPS, people look down on UPS right up until they came out and started stunting on everybody, saying, look what we're paying our people.
Doing, yeah.
But up until that moment, they looked down on it. Like,
but before then, people were clamoring for a job at UPS. Are you talking about early 2000s? And before, shoot, let me get a job at UPS. That's what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
I was trying to beat UPS door down to get a job over there.
Yeah. Yeah, the people, and especially it seems that you see it in that dating world, you know, where mm-hmm. a lot of women are saying what they can't be with when it comes to a man. Yeah, it's like
they
can't have a guy that's working this type of job or you know, if he don't make this amount of money. And it's like, all right, you know, that sound good.
A young 22-year-old, she want a dude who ain't working here, ain't working there. He got to be working here or making this amount of money. You're 22. That man 23, 22, 21. It's gonna take
He got a whole staircase to climb in life.
He got you got a lot of grinding to do, homeboy.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So you better be patient with what that man doing. You know what I mean? Like, we all get to a point to where we live comfortable, more comfortable in life, but we had to go through the rigmarole of odd jobs. Working this job and that job and this job and that job to where you finally demand a certain thing or you require a certain thing of yourself because you went through the grind already. You went through the struggle and the hustle to get to that certain point. So let me take this a step further. How do you feel when, say, somebody was an artist and they were doing a thing, or they were an actor, or they were a sports player, and they go back to work and they just work in a 9-to-5?
Yeah.
And somebody said they fell off. Oh, you fell off because you work in this job, you work in this gig. Instead of looking at it like they're working and they're just working to work, why does it have to be you fell off? I got to work. I still, bills don't stop. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's the ridiculous stuff. That's an unfair standard that people put on former celebrities or artists or actors or whatever else. Because as we're learning in the world today anyway, as all this information comes out, we're learning a lot of these people ain't making the money that you thought they were making.
Exactly.
They cheated out of a lot of that money. So now when they actually aren't active in that industry anymore, it's not over. Like you say, I got bills. I got a standard of life. I got things to do. You know, I got things that need to be paid. So you have to go to work. Saying that you fell off because you switched industries, it's like saying, hey, man, I switched jobs and now I fell off. Like, that's ridiculous. You would never say it to somebody.
Yeah.
If they got fired or laid off, you wouldn't say, hey, man, you fell off because you went to a new job. You just wouldn't say it. So that's what we're doing to these people when you say they can't go find another form of income because the music business ain't working no more for them. Or they chose to leave. You never know. A lot of people deal with bad contracts. They just choose, hey, man, I'm done with this. This is some bull. I'm done with it. And they should be entitled to do it. Just because their story hasn't been told and you don't know why they're not making records no more, it don't mean that they had to fall off. It could have been an actual choice. I seen some stuff in this game. I'm out. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm done with it.
Yeah, I don't need to be a part of that, or the game ain't what I thought it was going to be, or these snakes are reaching in my pocket and taking my money. I'm doing all of this work for them and I'm seeing this and they seeing that. They getting rich off of me. No, no more. You ain't getting rich off of me no more.
Right.
I'm gonna withdraw myself from this to go do this over here, and I'm gonna just rebuild, reclimb, and go in another direction. It shouldn't be looked at as a falling off. Like when I got laid off and before I joined the military at the age of 30, and took a bit of a pay cut. To me, nobody would look at me and say you fell off, because okay, you taking a pay cut to go work here and be an E4 in the Army. And now you're making this amount of money, but then no, that's just, I had to switch careers and I got to start somewhere. I can't go somewhere and start at the top and say, I've been working for 12 years of my life. What does 12 years working in the military get you? I should start there.
Right.
That's not it. It's not a falling off. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Very, very unrealistic perspective, man. When people go back to school, you say you fell off because you went back to school to add another degree to your repertoire so you can try to ask for a little bit of extra money in the world. If you quit your job and start a business, did you fall off because you quit the job and now your business is being built from the ground up? It's people are really like assessing a pivot with a very unfair and unrealistic point of view.
And not realizing what a ceiling is. Like, say these guys, these celebrities, they're working in music, right? And their ceiling is going to be a certain point because of how the industry is structured. But this guy, he quits the industry, goes into creating his own business. Like, I don't know what Young Jock was doing. I wish I had the video for this. I could play the clip. But he's driving some kind of, it's not an Uber or Lyft, but it's this other startup company for that's like Uber and Lyft. And you know, who's to say that he's not part of the company or invest in the company? And I got to go work the company real quick so I can get this company off the ground and flourish, so it can become a billion-dollar business like a Uber, or a multi-million-dollar business like a Lyft. Like, it, you got to start somewhere. So just because I'm
understanding this business before I invest in it, let me test the business out before I invest in it. You never know.
Yeah, it just feels like the perspective that some people take when they look at people who are in certain industries, or they go here, or they're working a job at a certain level. You don't understand, for one, that person's background or what they're dealing with, or what their aim is and what they're trying to attain by getting into an industry, whatever it might be. Yeah. Whatever it might be, that, like you said, I could be just learning the business. I can understanding why I'm investing in this. And that investment could be worth millions of dollars because I put myself in this position to try to learn this industry.
Right.
Why does it have to be I fell off? I'm working. Anytime somebody working, they ain't falling off. You working.
And you don't know if I'm making more money now than I was before in the more sexy industry. But that's all it is. One is more everything sexy than the other. That's all
exactly.
It is.
Everything that glitter ain't gold.
That's right.
Everything that glitters ain't gold. You know, you got a lot of people who make a whole ton of money doing something that ain't sexy.
Right.
But you will never understand that because the draw ain't there. The attraction to it isn't there. But guess what? It's a necessary industry. Like that's sanitation. Right. Sanitation is a necessary plumbers. You got plumbers who make a lot of money being plumbers.
Yeah.
But guess what? Everybody, every house, every business, every building has a plumbing system. And somebody got to service that plumbing. Yeah, that plumber getting down there, getting dirty, he working. But guess what? He owned his own plumbing business. That man probably making some money. Contracts after contracts.
And you look at him like he's Super Mario Brothers or something because he's doing plumbing work. But not knowing the whole time, this dude, he don't even have to. You know, plumbers, man, they get so booked out for months. They don't even take phone calls. Try to call these people for work and they won't even answer the phone for you. Leave a message, they won't return it. They are making bread.
I'm booked.
But you're looking at them like, here we go. And like they're Mario and you just ain't got no respect for it. They getting paid. Like, we really got to, like you said, we got to stop looking at the stuff that looks like it's shiny and thinking that it's actually valuable. Because some of it's fool's gold. A lot of it's fool's gold. But people get caught up in the allure of it.
I like that. Fool's gold. Costume jewelry.
Yeah, man, without a doubt.
I think we gotta get back. Yeah, for sure. So let me talk about this aged barrel, man. Mm-hmm. It's oaky, it's smoky, it's not as spicy as I thought. So it's kind of giving me what I wanted. Give me what I wanted today. It's aged-esque. And the smoke is it's a lot smoother of a ride than I was thinking it was gonna be. So should not be afraid of this if you want something smooth. It's still smooth, but it just has that punch of oak and tobaccos that just it's a nice flavor mix.
That's what it is. For me, this La Aroma de Cuba Passion. She's got a harshness to it. It's a harshness to the actual. To the smoke itself, like the actual smoke. Mm-hmm. Now, some smoke is creamy and some is smooth and some is full body. It's a light, it's a harshness to the actual smoke, not the taste of the cigar or the notes that you pick up on, but just the smoke itself. I wish the smoke was a little smoother because I like the retro when I'm trying to figure out my notes that I'm tasting. And this retro is a little rough coming through. You know what I'm saying? So, but outside of that, like I say, I know I picked up on early on the spice. Some of the spice is still there, but it's not as strong as it initially was, but it has not gone anywhere. There is, like I said, the nutty notes that I'm picking up on this. There's some cedar notes that I'm picking up on. And I'd probably say a little leather in the mix. And that's kind of where I'm at this point in time. It's a nice little blend to it, though. Still an enjoyable cigar. The strength of the actual smoke is my only issue with it at this point in time, but not to the point where I can't enjoy it, but to the point where if you were newbie, it might be a little tough on you. Know what I mean?
Yeah, might get some coughing.
Yeah,
one
in there.
My God, noob.
Yeah. I would have to be, if I was in the cigar shop and it was just smoke everywhere, that smoke hitting me immediately along with everything else, it would be rough. It might be brutal in there, man. I might be in there trying to hide it and stuff. So it's one of them types of cigars, man. Smoke this by yourself.
Hey, but hey, let me ask you this question real quick. You ever been around other cigar smokers and you got to cough, but you don't want to cough because you don't want to look like that guy?
Yeah.
Who just
inhaling they cigars and stuff. You don't want to look like you're that dude.
You're like, yeah, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know I can smoke these cigars. I've been smoking these cigars, so I shouldn't feel
insecure about it. It's like secure. You gotta prove yourself.
If I gotta let off a cough, I'm good. But still, it's something in the back of my mind that say, don't call. You better hold that in.
Not in this environment. Don't do it.
Not in this environment. Yeah. Not around
It'd be either. Like that. It'd be like that. I'm the same way. The cough can be unrelated to the cigar smoke, but you don't want to let it out.
just because the perspective or the illusion or the idea of.
Yeah. They're going to be like, they don't think I took it in and couldn't handle it.
He can't handle it. He can't handle it. Who this guy? Nah, man, I've been doing this.
Yep.
Hey, man, so NBA playoffs are in full swing. Mm-hmm. Full swing. And there's a certain team.
Not to mention the playoffs, but the play-ins first and then play-in the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
I think that play-in stuff is stupid. We ain't never talked about it, but I think it's stupid.
It's the top eight go in, man.
Why we gotta have a battle for the last two spots? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if they ain't getting, if their record didn't allow them to get in, it didn't allow them to get in. Like,
yeah. Why are we affording teams that didn't earn it
second chance
give them a second chance to knock off a team who their record rightfully so throughout the season got them where they needed to be? That's it.
Yeah. It got them home for the summer, but instead you give them another shot. Why? So the first and second seed can get an easier game by going up against the 10th and 11th pick. I mean, it's 10th and 11th seeded team.
Yeah.
Or 9th and 10th or whatever. You know, it's like, come on, man.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's madness. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Like, I never hated it, but I never really understood it either. Like, why do we need
it? It's unnecessary touch. Yeah.
It's unnecessary. Yeah. But however, yeah, but the Lakers, they made it to the play-in. They're in the playoffs. And they ain't looking too good, man. The playoffs, by the way, are very interesting this year. First time in a couple years that I'm invested in the playoffs. We got some and the good thing is, there's a lot of teams that you don't usually hear in the playoffs. The Pelicans are they still in there? I think they're about to get out. They're about to get put out. But the Pelicans, they doing their thing. They actually made it there. They made some interesting games. Minnesota, Anthony Edwards, Cat, those guys, they doing their thing. It's been some fun playoffs to watch, but it hasn't been fun for the Lakers. Hasn't been fun for LeBron. They down 0-3 right now.
The GOAT?
0-3.
GOAT down 3?
Somebody's GOAT is down.
The GOAT couldn't get a dub.
Can't get a dub.
Oh, man.
Can't get a dub. And more interesting, in the post-game interview after the Game 3 loss.
Hold on. I got to wrap my mind around this first. The GOAT. In what season is this film?
19?
Season 19? What round is this?
First round.
The GOAT about to get swept in the first round?
First round.
In his 19th first season? Round.
Big GOAT. Big GOAT.
Dang. Big GOAT. Because his numbers is better at 39 than the other GOAT.
Than Jordan's was. Yeah, no.
39,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He played at a higher level. Because he didn't retire, right? He didn't retire for like 3 years and come back on a scrub team,
nope.
Did he?
Nope. He's been with this team for three years? 3 years now?
Yeah.
Maybe
he's an important piece, right?
Important piece. Yet you had this team that you've been cultivating for so many years. And this is your squad, this is your team. You playing better than Jordan was at 39, coming out of the office.
Man, this is crazy, man. I can't believe this is happening. So what did LeBron have to say about all this then, bro? Because this is shocking news.
So LeBron has a long face this night. You know what I mean? It's just it ain't looking good for him. And he goes into explain. I can't remember the exact question that the reporter asked him, but he's going through this whole explanation about players wanting to give it their all, and you can't make a player be the greatest that they can be or whatever. If they just want to be whatever they want to be, they can be that. And it's okay, because
why?
It's just basketball. Oh, it's just basketball.
Basketball.
And he ends with that statement that it's just basketball.
Just basketball. Basketball guys.
Just basketball.
Basketball guys. Man. Boy, that boy looked defeated. That's the face of defeat.
Defeated. And I've
seen that face on him a few times. That ain't the first time I seen him look defeated.
You've seen it early in his career. You've seen it midway through his career. You've seen it at three quarters of his career. You've seen it at all stages of his career. You've seen that face before. You've seen that demeanor before. You've seen that defeatedness in him before. I don't know if that's a word, but defeatedness. You've seen that in him before.
And this is what LeBron had right before he left Cleveland the first time after Boston got done putting the foot blocks on him.
Or got embarrassed by Dallas or got embarrassed by San Antonio. That's how you look. But it's like, hey, man, it's just basketball. It's just basketball, which I get. It is just basketball.
It is.
You know what I mean? It is just basketball, but it's just basketball that you have players who get paid millions and millions of dollars to play the game and entertain.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what it is that you're doing. If you're getting paid anywhere upwards of six figures or higher, you're given a job to do. I want you to be the best or the greatest at it that you can be. Because we're paying you, or you're being paid and you're being invested in. So that level of you need to be here or striving to be here at all times. Now, we get people have different skill sets and different abilities, and people got different ceilings, but you better reach that ceiling. That's how I feel. Whatever your capabilities are, you better maximize it. You better maximize it. And I shouldn't expect anything less, especially if I'm the GOAT.
But it's just basketball, bro. I'm not passionate about this. It's just basketball. It don't matter to me, man. That's that Jokic mindset. Jokic, though, see, these guys look at this stuff like a job now, man. That's the hilarious thing about it, man. And given, it is a job. You know what I'm saying? But
it is a job. It's okay. But I get it. But here's the thing.
It's disappointing.
Say that in the offseason. Say that in the beginning of the season. Don't say that when it's wartime. I don't want to hear you say that in the middle of war. Say that when the series is over. It's just basketball in the series. You still got games to play.
Hey, bro.
You just say that to yourself.
Even let them words come out your mouth. When you questioning yourself as who you are in the sport, after a long behind whooping and a long season, then you go home and you let your wife tell you it's just basketball and make you feel better about it. But you don't utter them words out of your own mouth.
You got somebody pat you on the back and tell you, hey, man, look, it's just basketball. But you as the warrior... You it's as the person in the fight, it's for this moment, it got to be everything to you.
Yeah.
It is just basketball.
You won't never leave it all on the court as long as you realize it's just basketball. That's what somebody say when they got quit in them. Mm-hmm. It's just basketball. Going back to the fight last Saturday between Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney, Devin Haney could have easily said it's just boxing and quit. He kept getting up. He kept getting knocked down. He kept getting up. He got about six times. Because it won't just box into him. He ain't no quit in me. You know what I'm saying? If you got that dog in you, it ain't just the sport. It's more mm-hmm. than that. It's my legacy. It's all these blood, sweat, and tears and years of hard work and effort that I put into this. It's the dedication that I put into it. LeBron's very disciplined guy. It's all the discipline. It's more than basketball. It's everything that went into basketball.
Into basketball
is what it is,
and everything
just tell yourself out of basketball. That?
Not just whatever went into it, but whatever's coming out of it, because
that too. The
compensation
everything
is there
that not you hear impact. Is because of basketball.
Yeah, the platform,
all these careers, music. I mean, studio, movie studios and stuff. That's from basketball, so it's not just basketball. That mansion you live in, homeboy, that's not
basketball.
It's not just basketball, bro. It's not. They calling you the greatest to ever do it. Some kid is looking up wanting to be you, and you saying it's just basketball. So you letting that kid know, hey, bro, you ain't got to be passionate about it, man. It don't mean all that. you don't need to have what I have. This is nothing. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like.
And we get it. Like you're not performing life saving surgery. Like it's not a matter of life and death. I get it. But the thing that you can learn and what you can acquire for yourself and about yourself through sports, which is why, you know, saying we champion sports through Pop Warner and, you know, AAU and Little League and all of these things up into high school and college and even professional sports, is because of what it can do for you as far as your mental drive, the kind of heart that you got that's going to push you and propel you through life. Like, it gives these guys a stage to be on, to make the amount of money and live in the mansions they live in, because it's just basketball, because you put something on the line and you sacrifice something. When you were making those sacrifices, it wasn't just basketball. So I don't want to hear that when you're losing. So when you made your sacrifices and you were winning and you were cashing in on your paydays, it wasn't just basketball then. Don't tell me that when you're losing. And me as your teammate, if I'm your teammate and I'm just coming into the league and I'm trying to figure out a way for my family and I'm trying to get to a certain level of stability for generational wealth, generational stability, it ain't just basketball. I don't want to hear you tell me it's just basketball.
Right.
I don't want to hear not you. Maybe the 15th man on the roster, the one who don't even travel with the team. Maybe you can tell me it's just basketball, but I don't want to hear that from the top.
Yeah, not from the top. Not from the top. You set the wrong tone, man. Because ultimately, it's definitely more than that. When your body is going through what you're putting your body through all season long, and especially a guy like him who's done it for all these years, to just dismiss that, you're dismissing your own work, your own effort, your own history, and all that you've given to the game. You're dismissing it. You're dismissing all that anybody before you ever gave to the game. And ultimately, all sports are a beautiful metaphor for life. So
it
shows teamwork. It shows how not giving up and what you can achieve through not giving up. It shows coming from the bottom and making it to the top. You know what I'm saying? That mountaintop. It's a beautiful metaphor for life, man, when you think about it, you know, and shows what teamwork can do when we unify and come together for a common goal. And for you just to be like, all right, nah, none of that matters. It's cool. Yes, it is. It's just a game. You're right. But it can mean so much more. And you're missing that. You know what I'm saying? There's a bigger picture, man. And hey, man, 23-24 would have never said that. I mean, OG 23, not new school 23. You know what I'm saying? But the original. You know what I'm saying?
That's the only one we're talking about. That's the only one we're talking about. It's original.
Michael Jeffrey wouldn't have said it. Kobe Bean wouldn't have said it. I don't think you'd have got that out of Magic Johnson, Irvin Magic. You wouldn't have got it out of Larry Bird. Isaiah. You wouldn't have got it out of Isaiah. You wouldn't have got that out of Kareem. A Lou Alcindor. You know, none of his variations of who he was. You ain't good. They just wouldn't talk like that, man. But that goes to where we are in the world today, man. We at a point where everybody's just soft, man. Dudes is soft, man. I don't know how else to say it. That's soft talk. LeBron, shut that soft talk up, bro. Like,
that's soft talk.
Soft, man.
I'm glad you said that. That's soft talk. That's soft talk. Because the thing that gets me is, like I said, if you said it in an interview after the season's over, someone down the line, he was like, it's just basketball. We do this and this and this and that. And it has some other context around it. But in the middle of the fight, you in the middle of the fight. The bell rang. You sitting in your corner right now. In between games, this is you sitting in your corner. And you just saying it's just basketball or just a fight. You don't do that. Like you made the Haven analogy. If that man got to his corner and said it's just a fight, he would have laid down a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't have won the distance, at least.
After the first knockdown, he'd have quit. If Floyd Mayweather, when Shane Mosley kept rocking him in that fight, he said he pulled him in and told him in his ear, you're going to have to kill me in here. That sound like somebody that's just at a sporting event, or that sound like somebody that's willing to get a off for something that matters to them? Something got to matter to you at a point. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's too much quit in that boy. That boy got quit in him. You know what I'm saying? And he always had quit in him.
That's what confused me about LeBron, because you can tell there's times where there isn't any quit in him. And he wants to pull through. He wants to fight. He turns into a monster. And we see that. We see that on many occasions. But what doesn't make him my GOAT, what keeps him from being my GOAT, is the fact that we've seen him with the quit in him. Mm-hmm. Even though I've seen your flashes of greatness, and that's what gets you number two. That's what puts you at number two. Because we've seen the flashes of greatness. Well, we've seen not just flashes, yeah, but we've seen the length of greatness. I'll give him that. Well, we've seen the length of greatness.
Extended greatness along the way, yeah.
But we've seen the quit, too. We've seen the quit. And I don't like that. Not for GOAT talk. Nah, not for GOAT talk.
I'm dying on that. I don't like that.
I don't like that at all.
That's what it is. That's what it is. You know what I'm saying? Earlier, we made the comment about trolling. This is definitely some trolling going on for the LeBron fans, because y'all soft as he is. You know, everybody get mad at number two. Like, number two ain't a compliment to LeBron. He's great, guys. You know what I'm saying? But all of this other little weird stuff, man, that's why some people just can't get with it. You know what I'm saying? Look, that was a time when Kobe was living, and a lot of people couldn't get with some of the stuff Kobe was doing until you started learning Kobe's mindset and understanding him a little better along the way after his passing. But that's what LeBron's thing is now. People see stuff on him, and they just don't. It don't coincide. Yeah. It don't feel right to certain people who from a different cloth. Now, if you from LeBron cloth, you feel that. Oh, man, yeah. He should quit. He might as well. They won't go and win. Leave him alone. Y'all got that in you. Cool. You know what I'm saying? You feel that. But there are going to be some of us that just don't feel that way, man. We hear that and we go, ugh. And now Ron do some stuff and I'd be like, ugh, afterwards. Like, all the flopping, and he the biggest dude on the court.
He's the biggest dude on the court.
Yeah.
He's like, flopping around.
And you flopping around. That stuff don't feel right to some people. You know what I'm saying? We watch the dude and sometimes he makes a mistake. He'll drill the ball off his foot and then point at his teammates and fuss at him. And it's like, dude,
yeah,
who are you blaming?
Yeah, we talked about the J.R. Smith situation. He took that blame. And it was not his blame to take. It was not his blame to take.
And history is going to now remember J.R. is this. You know what I'm saying? Like, but the screw up. You know what I'm saying? But those are the moments that a lot of us, it don't sit well with us, man. LeBron ain't got no haters like you think, man. It's just a lot of, I used to think LeBron had haters until I started really processing some of the stuff I watched over the years. And it's like, you know what?
They just dislike what they see.
They dislike what they see. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. He do got some haters. You know what I'm saying? And we probably sound like two of them today. But in reality, I'm not a LeBron hater, man. I like to do, you know, but I keep that top guy.
I don't say it's hating. Because we're reacting to the statement that was made. If LeBron never made that statement in an 0-3 situation.
That's true. We couldn't have this conversation if he didn't say it.
If you go out like a – yeah, Kobe got swept. Kobe got swept in the playoffs. But we saw Kobe's demeanor in the midst of him getting swept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he still had fight in him. He didn't utter anything that sounded like he was giving up or giving in. Yeah, he might know that. Yeah, we might be going home, and we ain't going to get out this round. We're going to get swept. But guess what? He still kept that mindset, and that's what you need, especially in just basketball, of what's going to teach the youth or your teammates, your peers or whatever, or teach yourself what it means to push through and persevere even through adversity, even when you're losing, even when the chips are stacked against you.
Yeah.
What I need to hear from my leadership from the top, it's not that it's just basketball. Never hear Kobe say, Kobe mounted up. All right, we might take this L. And he ain't saying we might take this L to his teammates probably. But in his mind, we might take this L. But guess what? Outwardly, this is what I'm showing. This is all y'all going to get from me.
Right. You know, that's a great point that you make, man. And I mentioned Mayweather earlier. A lot of this, I blame him for ushering in this era where people think that being undefeated and stuff matters, you know what I'm saying? When people got this whole you can't lose in life or you suck mentality, like, man, losing ain't a bad thing. It's not the swept. It's not I'm teasing him. I don't care that he's getting swept, to be honest with you. It's not that. That ain't no knock. LeBron is still great, even if you sweep him. You sweep him now, they don't take that. This don't hurt his legacy. It don't tarnish his legacy at all. So it ain't the fact that he's losing or how he's getting swept, but it's entirely his behavior while taking the L. The L ain't the issue. How you take an L is the issue always.
Yeah, and I honestly think that how he's taking the L is him trying to save his legacy. You ain't got to do that to try to save your legacy. Because what it does is, I'm about to get swept. but let me take the sting off and just remind people that's just basketball. So if I lose and I get swept, it's just basketball, guys. Don't hold this against me because it's just basketball. Yeah. So I'm trying to save my legacy by talking too much, but in my mind's eye, you're taking your legacy by saying what you're saying. Yeah. It ain't taking the sting off. It's putting the sting on. Now you look weak. Now your legacy is being tainted. Yeah. Now, if you mount it up and say, all right, man, we about to go out there. Hey, win, lose, or draw, we're going to give it our all. It don't matter. And I'm going to get my guys rally together, and we're going to try to punch them in the mouth. We might get laid out, but guess what? We're going to go down punching.
Yeah.
We're going to go down swinging.
That's all you ever want. You want to just see the effort. That's all we ever wanted. We started the episode off saying Dennis Rodman was great. Part of the reason, effort.
Effort. Effort.
That's it, man.
Yeah, man.
Stop being soft.
The soft era is among us. The soft era is among us.
It's among us, man.
Craziness, man.
Man, let's,
hey, look.
Let's do these final reviews, though, man.
Yeah, let me get the bad taste of it's just basketball off my tongue and get back to the subject at hand.
I know, man. I thank God Rocky Patel never gave me a bad stick and said, man, it's just cigars, bro.
Just a cigar. It's just cigars, man. Look, just cigars. Nah, man. Effort,
man.
So, hey, look, man, Rocky Patel, age barrel. It's exactly what the doctor ordered. Okay. I was nervous earlier. I didn't think that this was going to be what I wanted, but I'm pleasantly surprised, not surprised, but I'm happy with how my experience went today. So finishing that first third, getting into that second third, spices were just slight but undertone. That profile was still bold because I feel like that oak barrel taste just kind of gave it that ump that kept driving the stick, but didn't make anything harsh, didn't make anything unenjoyable. All the notes came together very well with that oak barrel boldness that kind of just wrapped itself around everything. Had some cocoa in there, had light cedar, a little bit of leather, oiliness on the wrapper, a little espresso. I would say maybe I got like a hint of espresso too with it, which was good to boot. Yeah. I think it meshed well with that oak too, that barrel oak taste. So, very pleasurable to enjoy. So, to rate this thing out of 5,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to get it up there, man. We're gonna have to say this thing is 4-5. How I'm feeling right now? It's a 4-5.
4-5.
This Rocky Patel is there. I might be a prisoner of the moment. And just being wrapped up in what I was not expecting and giving me something of outside of my realm of expectation. But this bad boy is smoking nice right now. I like the flavors. The flavor profile is on point. Even with that oak barrel, like we talk about, we like that smokiness. We like that oak. We enjoy that from time to time. And you asked me earlier how I was going to stack up against the other ones. And I would say it's probably the best of the best. I think I had what was the other one I had in that same vein? It might have been a Fuente. Was it a Fuente? And that was up there too. And I think that was like a 4-4 or something like that for me. It might edge it out. Pun intended.
Unintended.
Yeah. it might edge it out. I like this one. I'll have to go back and find out exactly which cigar I was smoking that had that barrel taste, that smoky taste, and match them up. Or was it you that had it? I can't. It was one of us.
I had a Cohiba, but I thought you had AJ Fernandez.
That was last week.
It was last week, right?
Yeah, that was last
was
week.
Was that the smoky one last week?
No, no.
Oh, yeah. It might have been. It might have been Arturo then. It might have been Fuente. I think it was Fuente now that I think about it.
Yeah, I gotta go back into the stash and find out what we were doing.
Yeah,
gotta go back and stash, find out which one it was, and then match these two up. This might be a standoff right here. Might be a standoff. This one is nice. Aged barrel. Rocky Patel, you did your big one with this one.
right, dope, man. 4-5, 4-5. For me, I got the La Aroma de Cuba Passion. And for me, this cigar definitely started out with a lot of spice. Eventually, that spice subsided, scaled back, came to a nice little even spice that wasn't too over the top, anything like that. It was a lot of nuttiness on this cigar. There was cedar notes, leather notes on it. I would say I talked about the strength of the actual smoke. The smoke itself had a very strongness to it. I even called it harsh. It was harsh at a point. But it was definitely felt like more of a full profile as far as the actual smoke itself. I would say also there was some sweetness that I had in this cigar that I will say was probably more like a molasses type note on that. Even a little bit of semi-sweet chocolate seemed to pop up throughout this cigar also. For me, I did enjoy this stick. Even though I complained about the harshness of the smoke when I was retrohaling it, this stick for me still does reach the 4 spot. So from 1 to 5, I go 4 on this right here. 4 even is what I'm going to rate this. This was still a very enjoyable cigar, especially for someone with my experience level with cigars. I still was able to enjoy it. A lot of what I was saying, I wish it was a little smoother, is preference, but it had nothing to do with the actual cigar. And it probably would have been harder for more of a novice cigar smoker. But for me, I was able to handle it, you know. And I would also say everything was good on it. I mean, good draw, good construction. The aroma of the smoke was good. So a 4 even is what I get is right here. The La Aroma de Cuba Passion.
De Cuba.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, did you get a chance to retrohale? As you said at the halfway point, did you continue to retrohale?
I continue to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know if it's something that kind of like steered you away from trying to do it.
No, it didn't, because it was doable. Even with the harshness, it was doable. So that lets you know it wasn't like to the point where I had to back off of that. If it was that bad, it would have been definitely a problem. But it was notable enough for me to mention it, but not notable enough for me to just be like, all right, I got to stop. This is too much. So, yeah.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Take from it what you will from that.
Rocky Patel knocked it out the park with 4-5. De Cuba. 4-0.
Yeah. All right, hey, it's the Dennis Rodman episode.
Yeah.
91. Appreciate y'all tuning in to this week's episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast. We out.
Yes, sir.
Bron, get your soft ass together, man.